Well, good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Amanda and I'm on staff here at St. Hilary's. During the week, as I was preparing this sermon, I had a choice. The choice was to preach for 50 minutes or 20 minutes. And then I saw that there's a very special match on today at 1 p.m, so I am going for the 20 minutes this morning. Let me pray. Gracious God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this story in the Bible. Help us to have faith like the Roman official. Help us to demonstrate the gospel each and every day. I just pray this morning that you will speak clearly through me, and I pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. Amen. Demonstrating the gospel means showing, not just telling. In today's passage, we see Jesus showing the Roman official that he is the Messiah and that he can perform miracles even when he isn't in the room with the person that he wants to heal. This is the story of a man whose son was dying. We do not know the precise nature of the son's illness, except that he had a high fever and was near the point of death. Can you imagine how he was feeling? Worried, anxious, without hope. I think this is every parent's deepest fear, that somehow, someday, in an accident or by illness or through some other means, our children will be taken from us. I know for some people here this morning, this has been their reality. When we are faced with the unthinkable, what happens to our faith in God? Do we draw near to God or do we move away from him? Our belief in him is tested, isn't it? This is how C.S. Lewis put it in A Grief Observed. You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death to you. It is easy to say you believe a rope to be strong and sound as long as you are merely using it to cord a box. But suppose you had to hung by that rope over a precipice, wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it? Only a real risk tests the reality of our belief. The passage tells us that this was a very important man who had a very important conversation with Jesus. And then, wow, without notice, a miracle occurs. What happened to his son was not due to luck or coincidence. His son was dying and Jesus healed him. This story illustrates how faith grows in the human heart. None of us is born into God's family with our faith fully developed. We all go through various stages to arrive where God wants us to be. First, a crisis. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. Faith almost always starts in a crisis. When things are going well, it's easy to forget God, isn't it? But when life tumbles in around us, we suddenly start looking to heaven for help. Many of us here this morning have experienced a crisis of faith. A time when life seems to be going well and then without notice a bomb explodes. The life we knew has been turned upside down. In 2006, a bomb exploded in my life. My maternal grandmother, aged 80, and my mother, aged 56, were diagnosed with the same cancer. I asked God questions. How could this be happening? How could God allow two faithful women to go through so much suffering just when life seemed to be perfect? I had two beautiful daughters, aged 4 and 2, a loving husband and a great life. I wonder if that is how the Roman official felt. Now let's get back to the passage. Now we know that he was an official in the government. He was probably rich and powerful and influential. He was in the upper crust, a power broker, a man others feared and respected. He was accustomed to giving orders and having them carried out. But all the power and money in the world cannot change his situation. His son is dying and he is helpless. God often uses trouble to focus our attention on him. Not always, but sometimes. What will this man do? Where will he go? This is a crisis. I am wondering, in a crisis, where do you go? Who do you lean on? Showing humility towards God. Prepare to be amazed. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him. By this time, Jesus had become well known in Galilee. Not long before, he had performed the amazing miracle of turning water into wine. Word had spread. This man called Jesus had the power to heal the sick. When the Roman official heard that Jesus had come to Cana, he instantly decided to go and see him. His plan was simple. He would meet Jesus face to face, explain his son's sickness, and ask him to come back to Capernaum so he could heal his son. It is important to remember at this point, he doesn't really know who Jesus is. He has heard rumours, but he hasn't seen anything with his own eyes. He doesn't know Jesus, never met him, knows only his reputation, but that is enough for this man. He leaves in the desperate hope that his son might be healed. He doesn't know, but he goes away. That's what faith in our God should look like. It doesn't know the future, but it steps out anyway. He shows humility towards God. So back to my story. In the February, my grandmother was given 3 months to live, and my mother 6 months. Like the Roman official, I stepped out in faith. I prayed for a miracle. I didn't know what the outcome would be, but I believed that God would heal my mother and grandmother. Geographically, Capernaum is on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, while Cana is in a hilly area about 35 kilometres away. To put it into context, it's from Kew to Sunshine. That's 35 kilometres. Now, the Roman official must humble himself and go to Jesus, pleading for his son's life. In this desperate moment, his money and power meant nothing. Our status, our money, and our wealth mean nothing when we are brought to our knees in suffering. We need to humble ourselves before God and put our trust in him, just like the Roman official did. Our petitions to God. And he begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Prepare to be amazed. Our prayers are often born of desperation. Only needy people pray. Those who aren't needy don't need to pray. And they don't. When hard times come, we cling to God like a drowning man clings to a rope. That's what I did. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed to our Heavenly Father that my grandmother and mother would be healed. Then on the 2nd of March, my grandmother passed away. God, did you not listen to my requests? Or did you? How do you respond when God does not give you the answer that you expected? It appears that this request was very simple and very direct. Oh, Jesus, come and heal my son. He knew what he wanted, Jesus to come with him. Time was of the essence. Jesus, you must come right now. But his faith is defective because he thinks Jesus must personally present for the miracle to happen. He believes that for Jesus to work a miracle in Capernaum, he can't stay in Cana. He's got to travel the 35 kilometres back to Capernaum in order for his son to be healed. What is the temperature of your faith at the moment? Do you present all your requests to God? Our determination to believe in God. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. Prepare to be amazed. Jesus' answer is unexpected and it appears to be almost rude. Jesus was putting this man's faith to the test. Are you coming to me just because you want a miracle, or do you really want to know who I am? The problem is not our desire for miracles, but our addiction to miracles. And this explains why he would not come to Capernaum and heal the son in person. If Jesus went to Capernaum and performed the miracle there, it would attract a great crowd. They would follow him as a miracle worker, but they would not believe in him as the Son of God from heaven. He would have become a popular, but he would not have been worshipped as the saviour of the world. I was determined to believe that God would heal my mum. I tried to reason with God by saying, surely you would not allow both my grandmother and mother to die in the same year. It was June of that year that we received some more positive news. The tumour markers had decreased substantially. Thank you, God. We have hope again. You are amazing. Because we want to see signs, we put conditions on God before we believe in him. We like to say, seeing is believing, but that's backwards. First you believe, then you see. Faith must always come before the miracles. Miracles have no use except to point us to Jesus. If we get miracles but don't fall into a deeper relationship with him, we've missed the whole point. Now, I have non-Christian friends that I often share miracles with. They will say, well, that's just a coincidence or a medical anomaly. But I am sure if there was a miracle in my life, I would believe. That thinking is upside down, inside out. I love the way this Roman official responds. He simply repeats his request. It's as if he's saying, I don't know anything about these signs and wonders stuff, but I know you can heal my son. There is no doubt that this Roman official had faith. He had a determination to believe that Jesus would heal his son. Do you have faith in Jesus? Do you have a faith that others will believe that Jesus is the saviour of the world? Christian faith is confidence in God's faithfulness to us in an uncertain world through an unknown future. I'm going to say that again. Christian faith is confidence in God's faithfulness to us in an uncertain world through an unknown future. Our obedience to God. Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Prepare to be amazed. The Roman official is probably thinking, "Jesus, you've got to go with me. You don't understand how sick my son is. I can't take that chance. If you come, I know you can heal him." But something gripped his heart in that moment. You can trust the words of Jesus. And he did. It must have been hard for him to leave Cana and make the journey back to Capernaum alone. He has nothing to go on but the words of Jesus. Your son lives. This is naked faith. This is simple faith. This is faith not in miracles, but in believing the words of Jesus. I find it interesting that this man didn't ask for a token or a sign. He had no outward proof, but he left anyway. He had nothing to lean on but the word of the Lord. He believed that what Jesus said, he would do. Augustine put it this way: faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of faith is to see what we believe. Our testimony about God. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." Prepare to be amazed. Now we come to the delightful portion of the story. As the man is making the journey home, I'm sure many thoughts are running through his mind. He knows what Jesus has said and he believes it. Yet he remembers how sick his son was when he left. Could the words of Jesus be really true? As he walked along the road, he saw before him in the distance a crowd of people coming his way. "Master, your son lives." The father wanted to know when his son started to get better. But when did it happen? At the seventh hour. That would be about 1 p.m. And the man paused for a moment and began to think. Then it hit him. The seventh hour, that was the very moment when Jesus said, "Go your way, your son lives." Jesus healed the boy in Capernaum, even though it was 35 kilometres away in Cana, and the boy was healed that very moment. Jesus spoke to the father. That's not a coincidence. That's a miracle. And it proves that Jesus is the Lord of time and distance. Without knowing the outcome, he was obedient to God. Now, I'm not going to lie, when my prayers had been answered in terms of my mum receiving positive news, my faith waned, my obedience to God deteriorated. I put God aside. Then, without notice, a few months later, my mother slipped into a coma. She was in ICU, intubated. I could not believe it. "What are you doing, God?" We were told that she had days to live. I prayed fervently. I had faith and hope in God that he would turn this around, and he did. This real story has become my testimony about my loving God. Whatever the outcome, do you continue to put your faith in him? What is your real life testimony about God? our commitment to God. So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. Prepare to be amazed. And the Roman official believed so fully that he swept his whole family and all his servants with him into the kingdom of God. He came and they came with him. Three days later, my prayer had been answered. My mum was awake and back on the ward. She was talking, eating, and laughing. It was a miracle. I knew deep down that my mum would die, but God had provided me with more time. One afternoon, Bella came with me to the hospital to visit my mum. She was very excited because she had drawn a picture of her. When she arrived, she gave it to my mum and said, "This is for you." My mum asked, "What is it?" A four-year-old Bella said, "Nana Robin, it's a picture of you in heaven with Jesus." My mum smiled and had tears rolling down her face. A four-year-old Bella believed in Jesus and that her grandmother would be in heaven one day. That's a miracle. 3 days later, my mum died. Behind this story of the Roman official is the sovereign hand of God. His whole household believed that he was the Son of God. God works through our adversity, our pain, our trials, and our sorrows. When we are in the midst of desperate circumstances, we have an opportunity to demonstrate the gospel, to show others that we put our trust in our Heavenly Father. Now, I'm going to be honest with you here this morning. I struggle like most of you. I have doubts. I am sometimes disappointed in the way that God answers my prayer. I am human, just like all of you. But we have a loving God who wants to be in a relationship with us. He wants to be the light in the darkness so others may believe in him. Now, you're probably wondering, what has this story got to do with evangelism? How can we share the gospel if we don't believe in God? How can we share the gospel if we don't believe that Jesus is God's Son? He is the Savior of the world. He died for our sins so that we would have eternal life. We need to have a faith like the Roman official, so we can share the good news of Jesus with our friends and family. We need to be amazed by the miracles he is doing each and every day. Let's embrace every opportunity and demonstrate the gospel by people seeing how our lives have been changed by following Jesus. Can I encourage you in three ways? Do the Alpha course this coming April. Even people who've been in ministry for years and have been to Bible college deepen their relationship with God and draw near to him. The second way is invite your friends and family to Alpha. Be bold. Invite them to Alpha. It could change their life. And invite your neighbour to one of our Easter services. Demonstrating the gospel is the best gift you can give anyone, and it shows that you're stepping out in faith, just like the Roman official. Amen.